The gospel for this Sunday dovetails very nicely with the Old Testament lesson. You'd almost think there were two Lutherans doing this because you do get final victory, but in very small and unexpected fashion, like through a brephos in the koilia of a woman. So it's really interesting. That's the familiar passage from Luke 1, starts at verse 39. And the lectionary suggests perhaps stopping at 45, but that means you leave out the Magnificat, which I'd rather not do. So we're just going to kind of motor through this pretty quickly. But I do think that that is the one of the major theological points to make, is to say that in seminal form, you know, in what, fetal form, is a deliverance that extends to the political realms of the earth. I mean, Mary isn't kidding when she says, although interestingly in aorist indicatives, he cast down the mighty from their thrones. Because this is God's world. This is not Satan's world. God isn't just going to give this world up to injustice and death, but one day he's actually going to visibly put all things right, and he's going to do it through this child. Now, the problem is that for now, he's going to make these reversals happen in hidden ways, unexpected ways, and of course, the greatest unexpected way is the death of Jesus and his own resurrection. I've been thinking about the Baptists lately here in Advent, and I'm having a little bit of a harder time recently singing the Benedictus in chapel, because, in the tender compassion of our God, this beautiful, gentle music, you know, John, and so John is going to guide our ways into the feet into the ways of peace. And what happens to him? He gets his head chopped off. So you see the seeming contradiction between the promise and the way that it actually comes about. So to, on the basis of this text or the Micah text, to invite God's people to believe the promise and to believe that God has already reversed their fortunes in Jesus, and then he begins to manifest that in the community of the church and through the church reaching out into the world in small, hidden ways, and yet always looking for the consummation. So that's kind of what it's all about. So verse 39, we start with a participle from anistimi. Here it just means get up and not resurrect. And Mary, after she had gotten up in those days, she poriuomaid, passive deponent, she journeyed into the hilly region. Orenain is just an adjective that means hilly. With haste to a city of Judah, and she entered into the house of Zechariah. Remember that Mary and Elizabeth are kinswomen in some unspecified relationship. So she knows, or she finds out at least, where Zechariah and Elizabeth live and heads south to see them. Remember that Elizabeth, from the prior text, is 6 months pregnant, right? This old woman, you know, I think of my mother, for instance, who I don't think will ever listen to this, so I can say this. She would look pretty weird if she were 6 months pregnant. So, entered into the house of Zechariah, and she aspazamait, another deponent verb, aspasata, she greeted the Elizabeth. And it happened, Luke likes this vayahi construction, and it happened. Hos here, several times in this text, means when, has a temporal force. When the Elizabeth heard the greeting of the Mary, eskirtes en ta brephos. This is from skirtao, which means to jump around happily. Have you guys ever seen like a baby calf or a goat jump around happily? They're actually pretty happy. I've seen it once or twice, and they look pretty happy, you know. So the brephos skipped around in her belly, and the Elizabeth was, she was, let's see, a place thing. Is this from Pimply Me? I think this is from Pimply Me. I forgot to look it up. It means to fill. It's not from Plero. She was filled, aorist indicative, followed by the genitive, of the Holy Spirit, with the Holy Spirit. And she anaphoneoed, she lifted up her voice by means of a cry, a great one, and said. So this is Elizabeth's words to Mary. And eulogemene is an aorist participle, perfect participle passive. Blessed, in a blessed state are you among Guineas, women. And in a blessed state, supply the verb again, is the fruit of your belly, of your womb. Presumably then Mary is pregnant, right? So the Spirit comes upon her right after the angel tells her that the Spirit is going to, apparently. So by the time she makes the journey, the Son of God is actually in Mary's womb, and Elizabeth knows this. It's revealed to her because she's filled with the Holy Spirit.
John is 6 months older than Jesus.
Yeah, John is 6 months older than Jesus. That's right, give or take, right? Elizabeth continues, Kai pothen moi tuta. A pothen, I guess it would be an adverb. Whence, from where? Whence to me is this? Now let's describe the this. So the hina clause would be in apposition to tuta. Whence to me is this, that the mother of my Lord, who isn't very big at this point. I mean, really, if you wanted to preach a pro-life sermon on this one, you actually could do a really good job, right? So the mother, at this point, the Savior of the world is about the size of a pencil point, right? But apparently that's good enough, right? So yeah, you could actually make that point, although you wouldn't want to distract from the main point of the text, so maybe don't. It, that the mother of my Lord come to me. For looky, behold, when the voice of the greeting of you happened in my otas, my ear, z, right? The baby, forgive me, not the potential life, the baby leaped around happily in rejoicing in my belly, in my womb. And, supply the verb again, makaria, blessed is who, the one who believed, feminine participle referring to Mary, who believed that a teleosis, a completion, will be, probably the date of reference here, with reference to the having been spoken to her things from the Lord, right? So this is where the appointed text sort of stops, and you could certainly preach this, but I just couldn't help myself, and
Mary
is actually a believer. That's right. That's right.
That's specifically referring to her, right? Because of the feminine participle.
Exactly. It's a feminine participle. Hey, pissed you, Sasa. And it's not Elizabeth because she's the one who's talking. Yeah.
So when we think of Mary, we don't think of on the level of deity. We think of on our level.
Exactly.
A believer.
Yeah, she believes the word of God. That's right. That's right. Yeah, of course, it's a fairly unique word of God. You're a virgin. You're going to conceive and become the mother of the Son of the Most High, right, from earlier in chapter 1. Yeah, so you again, you could certainly preach this, and it would be a wonderful opportunity to you could probably portray what faith can see when nothing else sees it or something like that, you know, as long as it's based upon the word of God. Which Mary's faith and Elizabeth's rejoicing are based upon the Word of God. But because we do have the Magnificat coming, we'll just keep going here. And Mary said, myself, not my soul as opposed to my body, right, but myself, my psyche, myself magnifies the Lord. And, of course, you can't make God any greater than he is. This just is a biblical way of speaking that in our speech we magnify him. And my spirit, agaliaos, rejoiced on the basis of, or in God, in apposition now, the Savior of me. Why? Because he epiblepoed. He looked upon the lowliness, the humble condition of his female slave or female servant. And you could stop here. This is God's way. God's way, and especially in the Gospel of Luke, is the way of reversal, the way of overturning human standards and reversing human ways, which, by the way, just shows how broken the world is, that pretty much everything that we regard as normal is not normal, at least not to God. So So who are the most important people in the congregation? Maybe the three-year-old child with Down syndrome. Maybe that's the most important person. Something like that. Verse 48, for behold, look, from the now, all the generations will, makarizo means to call someone blessed, will call me blessed. Why? Because Hadinatas, the mighty one, God, did for me great things. Again, this is kind of, Paul, it's almost like a prophetic perfect, right? Where these things they've begun to happen, they haven't been fully accomplished yet, and yet Mary can speak in aorist indicatives, right? So the mighty one did for me great things, megala, and, supply a verb, the name of him is holy. And the mercy of him, supply the verb, is unto generations and generations. Now a dative participle, and probably a dative of advantage, for those who fear him. Remember that phobeo actually means to frighten, and then when it becomes passive, it comes to mean to be afraid, and then it can actually assume the sort of related transitive meaning to fear someone in the accusative case. That explains why you can have a passive verb form here with an accusative direct object, which normally doesn't work very well, but phobeo does that. It's all in Dr. James W. Vell's Not So Fundamental Greek Grammar. It's all in there, actually. So, what else has God done? He did kratos, ta kratos. It looks like a nominative. You're just parsing away. You're going to think it's the subject, but it's actually the neuter singular accusative direct object. He did strength with his bracheon, with his arm. Diescorpizen. He scattered hyperaphanus people. Arrogant people. And now a dative, and I was talking with Dr. Robbie about this a few minutes before we started. It's normally translated, he scattered the proud in the understanding or in the imagination of the heart of them. But I have no idea why it can't be translated causally. And that makes even more sense to me. He scattered the proud because of the understanding of their heart. That's why he scattered them, because of what they thought about themselves and about God. Now we have kath aireo. This is the aorist of kath aireo. He tore down or took down dynastas, powers from thrones, and he hypsaod, another aorist, lowly people. Now we put the direct object first, a participle from penao, masculine plural accusative. He en eplezen, he filled those who are hungering, this is the idiom, of good things, and those who are being wealthy, another participle, ex apestelen, he sent them away as empty, or as vain, maybe. 54. This is from antilambanomai, means to help. Luke has all these compound verbs where you have like 16 prepositions prefixed, like sun anti ana lambanomai or something, and it just means the same as the simple verb. It just drives me nuts. You faithfully look these up in the lexicon, you know, and then you don't get any payoff. Of course, nowadays the young people who don't care about the Word of God, they just point and click. You know, and so they haven't gone through all the agony of like paging. Oh, sorry, Dave. I have a young person to my right here. Yeah, so this is just an aorist indicative middle deponent, right, from antilambanomai. So he helped Israel, indeclinable, but it's the direct object. Apposition, the servant of him. Oh, wait. Paidas helps us see that Israel would have to decline as genitive, right? So I bet if I had actually looked it up, then antilambanomai would take a genitive object. Yeah. Okay. Which probably caused by the preposition. So he helped Israel, comma, the servant of him. And now an infinitive from mimneskamai, again, deponent with an active meaning. Fitzmyer suggests a purpose, in order to remember his mercy. This is why he helped Israel. And we saw in the Micah lesson about the promises from of old of the Davidic ruler. Of course, you've got Davidic ruler all over Luke chapter 1 and Luke chapter 2. And notice, as Dr. Ravi said, he's helping Israel. Now, ultimately, it extends to casting down all the mighty ones from their thrones and exalting all those who are of low degree. But, to quote Dr. Ravi, Jesus doesn't come to fulfill generic promises, right? He fulfills the promises to Israel. It's just that he does it in ways that they didn't expect and that we would not have either. So he helped Israel, his servant, in order to remember. So again, that's from Mimnaskamai. It's a passive deponent verb, so this would be aorist infinitive passive deponent, to remember mercies. Mercy, once again, a genitive object. This is from Elaos, third declension noun. Just as he spoke, and here it becomes explicit, to the fathers of us, to Abraham, or maybe, you know, why does it shift? I just noticed this. Why does it shift from pros plus the accusative to just the dative? Yeah, well, he spoke to our fathers.
By?
How about four?
Yeah,
it can't be by because it's not right. The dative of personal agency, but maybe it's for Abraham and for his seed.
So probably talking about the other prophets that came before.
Just as he spoke to our fathers.
With respect to,
maybe it's with respect to Abraham and his seed.
That has to clarify fathers, right?
He spoke to our fathers.
First of all, Isaac and Jacob.
No, I think, yeah, well, but wouldn't it be that he spoke to our fathers in relation to Abraham? In other words, all the fathers have heard the promises in relation to Abraham and his seed. Something like that. Aston Iona, into the age or forever. So again, notice the reversal, right? And you can proclaim really good news to this. Of course, you'll have to cast down some arrogance in all of us. We always want to hipsa-o ourselves. And, once you get a Christian or a group of Christians thinking in these terms, then all you got to do is say to them, okay, now how do you want to manifest that in your life? How do you want to manifest that as a congregation? You know? And there's no one right answer to that, but once you got people believing in, like the babe, rejoicing in this kind of a salvation, then you begin to do things differently. You begin to think about yourself and about the world around you in a different way, and things that were important aren't important anymore. The latest sale at Macy's actually doesn't matter, right? But the neighbor down the street, you know, who's behind on his house payment might. You know, so it's really, as they say in Minnesota, this is different. And then the text ends, and Mary remained from meno. This is an evil liquid stem verb, of course, so it goes meno, meno, emena. It's just an aorist indicative. Mary remained with her about 3 months, and hypepstrophson, she returned into the house of her. So Mary actually is with Elizabeth until very close to the time when John is born.
Or maybe that's when she went home.
It could be. It could be, yeah. It's a gap in the narrative. And so then Mary is 3 months pregnant when she goes back to Nazareth. So how you fit all that chronology together is actually a little taxing. But I'm happy to say that this is lectionary at lunch, not chronology at lunch. And so we could probably just stop there. But again, it's just a beautiful gospel proclamation. And the gospel here is the reversal of fortunes, right? Lowly people get what they don't deserve, right? If you insist upon being proud and arrogant, however, you will get what you deserve. So it's always, as I like to say, when in doubt, repent and believe.
Well, how about this? Lowly people get what they don't deserve. The high and mighty get what they don't want.
Oh, that's good. That's good. So, yeah, good. Okay, so that's the lessons for, and this was Advent 4, right? And next week we will have Dr. Seleska and Dr. Oswald, we've decided to do the appointed Christmas day lessons. So it's Isaiah 52, I think, and John chapter 1. So that'll be a good lectionary lunch. So, and thank you very much.
Good.
Yep, very good.